and then get you up here when the time is right. Matthew chapter 4 tonight, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 18. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Tonight I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled, "Leaving Your Nets." You know, in my lifetime, it's safe to say that I have left a far more things in my life by accident than I have on purpose. I remember it was 1994. It was the first summer that I ever traveled for the college, and Dr. Scoville was the head of the music department then. And Brother Scoville sat us down, and he gave us a lecture about not leaving stuff anywhere. Now, before you're too hard on us, you have to understand, we were basically in different churches every night for 8 weeks. And in those days, you didn't stay in hotels nearly as much as what people would keep you today. And so we virtually were in different homes all the time. Here I was, a rising junior, and still very green and just trying to keep everything together. It was a fun summer. It was the first time I'd ever been in the northern part of the United States. I had gone all the way up to Maine, swung all the way out to Illinois, and it was a memorable summer for me. But I remember Brother Scoville lecturing us, and he said, "Listen, pick up after yourself and do not leave anything." And he said, "It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Every summer when we send a group out, people mail stuff back here for the people in the group." And so anyway, I wanted to do my best. You know, I tried to pick up after myself. And I remember we were heading back. I was so excited to get home. I was a little bit tired. And I said, "Boy, this will be great." And we were jumping right into a camp or some type of a week, a landmark week here at the college. It was a summer Bible conference. And I remember getting back. I was so excited. I walked in on Monday, and lo and behold, here's Dr. Scoville with a box with my name on it. And a smile on his face, and he said, "You might want this." I remember grabbing the box and I thought, "What in the world have I left? I don't understand this." I thought that I did a very good job. And so I took it to the side. I opened the box. Now, this will date me a little bit, because now the item that I'm going to tell you that I left is really obsolete. But lo and behold, in that box was an alarm clock that was about the size of half of a laptop computer that I had left somewhere along the way. Now, it's bad when you can lose your alarm clock and you don't miss it, all right? That tells you a little bit about how my summer went. And it was a great summer, but I was wore out by the time it was finished. And I remember opening that and I thought, "Man alive, I cannot believe that I left this alarm clock." But I'll assure you, I didn't leave it on purpose. I left it by accident. Now we don't carry alarm clocks. We have phones that have alarms that we still don't manage to hear. Do you know what I'm saying? But you know, here I am. I'm, 25 years in evangelism. And this summer, you know what I was reminded? I still leave things by accident. Karis and I traveled out to Arizona at the beginning of July. I was preaching at the West Branch of the Bill Rice Ranch. And before I got there, we stayed, we were ministering in a church about an hour away from the ranch, or from West Branch. And we stayed and met a dear couple, had a great day of services. Church that while it was off an Indian, off of the Indian reservation, it still ministered to Indians. And we found that there were they were just now getting back from the COVID thing and starting to have services. It was really an exciting time in the church. And Karis and I, we really enjoyed our time with the pastor and his wife. And I'll just throw this in there. A pastor and his wife, they're looking for replacements. They've been there. They've served there for many years. And if there was a young man that would come in there and jump into it, I'll assure you he could do a good job. And so lo and behold, it was a few couple of weeks later, I got a package from Arizona. And I think this time my wife had gotten to it before I had. And she said, "Honey, you'll not believe this." I said, "What's that?" She said, "You left some clothes at the pastor's house in Arizona." I guess it's just the rite of passage for an evangelist. You're going to do it. But I could sit here and bore you with stories all day long of how I have left things by accident somewhere, and sometimes it's quite humorous. But tonight I don't want to talk to you about leaving something by accident. I want to talk to you about leaving something on purpose. And let me tell you tonight that one of the greatest decisions that you'll ever make in your spiritual life is the day when you, as a child of God, make a decision to leave your nets and follow Jesus. One of the greatest characters that we read in the New Testament, Peter. Do you know that Peter would have never preached at Pentecost? Do you know that Peter would have never seen the miracles done throughout the book of Acts? Peter would have never authored part of the New Testament had he not, at this point in his life, made a conscious decision to leave his nets. And I wonder tonight, do you look in your life, can you recall the day that you made the choice to leave your nets? He said, "Brother Beal, I'm not a fisherman." No, I'm talking about, do you remember the day when you decided as a child of God that you would forsake your dreams, that you would forsake your security, that you would forsake your ambitions, that you would forsake your future as you planned and follow Jesus and leave your nets? You know, there was a time here at Ambassador back in the 90s, maybe even the early 2000s, we saw a large crop of married students. It's really amazing to watch. I'm talking about people in their late 20s and early 30s and some in their 40s. You know what they did? They left the security of a home that they had purchased or an environment that they felt comfortable in and uprooted and came to Bible college. It was absolutely incredible to see. And by the way, that added a great maturity to our dean or to our student body. I'm telling you, the squirrels really came out when we lost married students. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But I will tell you, we lost a sense of maturity, but you know, there was a time when I could go to churches and I would learn of people that would uproot in their mid-20s and their 30s and 40s from established careers, and they left their nets and they went to follow Jesus, but I don't see that nearly as much anymore. Now, I don't claim to be an authority on it, but I'll tell you, I hear pastors not talking about it very much, and we definitely don't see it in the Bible college movement nearly as much as we used to. Yeah. Now, some people would argue and say, yes, there's correspondence studies, and yes, I'm sure that's made a difference, but there's still a big gap. Yeah. And tonight, as a Bible college student, I want to beg you tonight, just because you're in the pew, that doesn't mean that you've left your nets. You may have left home, but you've not left your nets. There's a difference. And there's no telling what you're going to miss in life if you walk out of here tonight not choosing to leave your nets if you haven't already. Now, to help us understand the passage tonight, I just want to ask three simple questions. And the first question is this: who left their nets? the story, it's very simple. You actually find there's two sets of brothers, but I primarily want to dwell on the first set when the Bible says in verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Verse 21, there's James and John, the sons of Zebedee. But I primarily want to deal with Peter and I want to deal with Andrew. Here you have these two siblings and they're fishing. And Jesus comes by, says, "Follow me." And what do? They leave their nets and they follow Jesus. Now let's do a little study about Peter and Andrew. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1. Because in John chapter 1, if you're not careful, there are some people that mistake Matthew 4 for John chapter 1. They're two different stories. These are not one and the same, although it's when both brothers engage Jesus. Look with me in John chapter 1. And I want you to see with me in, let's say, verse 40. It says, "One of the two which heard John speak," speaking of John the Baptist, "and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Now I want to stop there for a moment. Andrew is hearing John the Baptist preaching. And here's the thing about John the Baptist. The whole time he's preaching, who's he pointing to? Jesus, the Lamb of God. Remember? "Behold the Lamb of God." And so here Andrew is listening to John the Baptist and Andrew gets it. He says, "There's somebody greater than John. This man is the Messiah." Now, with that in mind, notice with me the following verse. In verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. Here you find Andrew bringing his brother to Jesus. You know, it reminds me of sibling stories that I hear sometimes among students. How many of you were fervently evangelized by a sibling at a very young age? Anybody? I've heard some people, and I mean, here's one that gets saved and they're preaching to their 4-year-old brother. And they're like, "Listen, if you die right now, you're going to hell. You need to get saved." Or some haughty 6-year-old talking down to the 5-year-old, "Listen, you are a sinner. You are a bad person. You need to get saved." You know, I've listened to people at camp and they say, "Oh yeah, my brother let me have it," or "My sister let me have it." Well, here Andrew does it in a much maybe more compassionate tone, but you know what he does? He tells Peter about Jesus and he brings Peter to Jesus. And here you find for Andrew and Peter the beginning of a journey. Now, before I go any further, let me tell you tonight, if you're going to leave your nets, first of all, you've got to see Jesus for who He is, and you've got to believe Him to be the Son of God and be born again. And when you reach that point in your life, listen, at Bible college, don't get the cart ahead of the horse. Before you talk about taking off out of the gate and following Jesus, my friend, you better see Him as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and know that He's your Savior. And once you make that identification, I'll tell you the very next thing you need to do is you need to leave your nets. You remember the conversion of Saul of Tarsus? "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord?" And before it's over with, in a very close proximity, what does Saul say? "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" I believe that very well could have been the leave your net moment for the Apostle Paul. And the rest is history. Now turn with me back to the book of Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Who was it that God wanted to leave their nets? The simple answer is Peter and Andrew, but I'd like to go a layer under. It wasn't just that God wanted Peter and Andrew. Here's what I want you to see. God wanted common, ordinary people to leave their nets. These guys were not rock stars. They were not athletes. They were not really men of renown. They were common, ordinary people. Now, you know, a lot of times today, especially in the hospitality occupation, and even, I mean, everything's so much customer service oriented. Everywhere you go, they want you to feel special. You know, sometimes it's a little bit freaky. You're like, I'm just wanting a Big Mac. You don't have to make me feel like I'm the President of the United States. Just serve it to me. But, you know, with customer service, it's like we want to make you feel special. You know, when you came to Ambassador the first time you set foot on campus, we did want it to be a pleasant experience. And we got you here and said, here's your map and here's your dorm key and here's your dorm supervisor, your dean of men or your dean of women. If there's anything that we can do, please, please tell me, and we want to help you. And maybe we made you feel special. All right, well, I want to do just the opposite for the next 2 to 3 minutes. You're ordinary. You say, that's not going to help enrollment numbers. But I've got good news for you. God wants ordinary people to leave their nets. You say, well, I don't have a lot of nets. Leave what you have and go. You say, I don't have a lot of talent. Listen, a fisherman, that's not a glorious occupation. As a matter of fact, it stinks sometimes. Especially when you're climbing. Listen, there, you know, this is a run-of-the-mill occupation, and God took common, ordinary people, and listen to me, thousands of people were won to Christ by common, ordinary people serving an extraordinary God. And you know, there are some of you here tonight. Maybe you have thought to yourself, I am nothing special. You say, there's really nothing extravagant about me. Hey, instead of looking at that as a liability, why don't you look at it tonight as exactly what God wants? Nobody knows me. Join the club. So I've never done anything great. I don't have a lot of great talents. I'm just telling you, God took two ordinary fishermen. That's who God called to leave their nets. And you know what I believe? God is still calling tonight ordinary people to leave their nets. Some of us need to quit pitying ourselves tonight. We need to quit talking about how insufficient we are and just talk about how sufficient He is. Peter and Andrew left their nets. I want to ask you, have you ever left yours? You ever left your safety? Have you ever left your creature comforts? Have you ever just let them go? Listen, God wants to use a college student tonight, maybe a one-year Bible major. It may be somebody you're in a two-year program, a three-year program. It may be somebody you're in a four-year program, but you've never left your nets. Listen to me, tonight's the night to do it. So who is it that God wants to leave their nets? Peter and Andrew, but also you and me. But the second thing I want to ask you tonight is not only who is to leave their nets, but why? Why leave your nets? Why should a man, these men, their nets were their livelihood. Do you understand that tonight? They are fishermen. If you give up your nets, you give up your livelihood, you're giving up your main source of income, you're giving up all that you know. When these men left their nets, listen to me, they left it all. Why do that? Why do that? Why leave that life of comfort? Why leave that life of familiarity? Why leave what you've known all of your life? It defies human understanding and it defies the wisdom of the world. And I'm afraid we have a lot more people listening to the wisdom of the world rather than the wisdom of God. But Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to preach more on the phrase, follow me. But suffice it to say, those two words will change your life if you'll obey them. But tonight I don't want to linger on that phrase because I want to preach on it tomorrow in a greater scale. But Jesus said, follow me. It was obedience. Why? Leave your nets. Leave your nets out of obedience to Jesus. But notice their occupation. Fishers of men. You know, one of the things that I really enjoy doing is I do enjoy fishing. I just don't get to do very much of it. Because it takes time. And it takes some patience that, you know, I can take a day and just unwind. But I do. I like fishing. And growing up in the summer months, I did it every day. I can still remember. I would take out, most of the time I would do bass fishing in the latter part of my teenage years. And I would take those lures and I would cast them out over and over and over and over again. And there was nothing like it being dusk. And all of a sudden, a monster just hitting your lure on the top of that water. And all of a sudden, your rod just bends. And you just fight for the next 5 or so minutes. You get them into the bank and you hold up this fish. Now, back then, we didn't have cell phones. But now, you know, people, when they can catch a fish this big, but if they hold it at the right angle, it looks like Jaws, you know. I've seen guys, they've manipulated the picture. They catch something, it's like a goldfish, and they can't stick their thumb in its mouth because the thumb would be too big. So they hold it in a certain way out from their body, and you're like, wow, that's eating size, and it's like a sardine. But this time, Jesus is saying, you're not going to be fishing out on the Sea of Galilee. I want to make you to be fishers of men. You know, if you're going to make a choice to follow Jesus, you'll become a fisher of men. I saw a beautiful thing happen a few weeks ago. I was preaching with one of our graduates. Joe Delt is preaching in Philadelphia. He's pastoring a church, the Open Door Baptist Church, I think is the name of it. And right now they're meeting in an Asian congregation. Congregation's building, but they only have a couple of more months. They have to find something new and move on. But we had an outdoor service in Philadelphia a few weeks ago. It was like August the 6th or something like that. I was just so excited to see Joseph and his wife, and we had a great time. And he was telling me all about the work, and it was great. We had an outdoor service. And just right out there, no amplification. I felt like George Whitfield, except I wasn't preaching to 6,000 people. I was preaching to maybe 60. And they were spread out, and it was a great service. And it was during the invitation, as I'd preached a message about God, that there was a lady that raised her hand, and she said that she was lost. And she wouldn't come forward in the service, but after the service, you know what I saw, Brother Comfort? I saw Joe's wife, Katie, go up to her, and they started talking, and about 15 minutes later, that lady became a child of God. Amen. And you know what, ladies, when I saw that, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of this. It's not just men that are fishers of men. You know what? God can use you ladies to guide ladies into the haven of rest. Don't you feel for one moment like you're insignificant or you're insufficient and that God's not going to use you. Listen, this call that God gives tonight to leave your nets, I think it's just as important for you ladies as it is the men. You know, there's men that go out and they left their nets and they tried to serve God, but the problem was their wives didn't. By the way, that's not gender shaming tonight because there's enough men that have made their wrecks too, pretending to leave their nets and they didn't. But ladies, I'm just emphasizing, it's just as important for you to leave your nets, to leave your ambitions, and to leave your personal plans and follow God. It's just as important for you to do it. You know what I believe the need of the hour is tonight? I don't think it's a need for more athletes. I think it's a need for fishers of men. Boy, I received some heartbreaking news a few weeks ago. A man that I traveled with to Japan 2 years ago, Ron White, was crippled with a stroke. I'm going to tell you what, that 77-year-old man took me around Japan with such vigor and zeal because he loved the Japanese people and he wanted to see them led to Christ for 2 weeks. Boy, if you thought it was a vacation, you're wrong. It wasn't a life of ease. It was day after day in a bullet train, 3 hours going to one congregation, spending the rest of the day there, having a concert, getting up early the next morning and traveling in churches all over that country. And now here's a man who gave his life to the country of Japan, and now he may never return. And I believe that God's looking for men and women to leave their nets and to go take His place. Earlier this summer, I had Mrs. Dillon call over, I think it was between 40 or 50 different mission boards. Well, I'm in the final processes of adding just a couple of other things, and I hope here within a month to be able to publish the results of it to those mission boards. What we did is we contacted every mission board and we said, we'd just like to know where your missionaries are serving. We'd just like to know where the husband and wife, we didn't even count the children because we didn't want to inflate the numbers. It's not because children are not important. It's just if we went with a husband and wife unit, we felt like we could present a uniform standard. And even in a preliminary look, when I'm looking, you say, boy, Brazil's got a lot of missionaries. Yeah, a lot until you divide it by the total population. You can look at other places and you see that there are countries in the world that don't even have, at least to our knowledge, an independent Baptist missionary. And that list is larger than you think. But as we add the final mission board, and there I'm sure it's not a comprehensive list, but it is a great representation of where people are at and where they're not, and we still are lacking. Yeah. And that's why I believe why you're here is so important. Because there's a drought and there's a great need for fishers of men. But there may be some of you that are scared to leave your nets because you think you can do a better job with your nets than you can do with the future that God wants for you. You know, your nets will bring you temporary happiness and you'll have your good days and your bad days. And I'm not saying that every day following Jesus is always seemingly on an upward trend, but there is a peace and there is a fulfillment that you get in following Jesus that no amount of using a net can help you get. So who is it? It's Andrew and it's Peter, common, ordinary people. Why do they leave their nets? They leave their nets because Jesus commanded it and Jesus had a task of He was going to make them fishers of men. Do you want to be a fisher of men? But the last question I want to ask you is this. How do you leave your nets? It says, and they straightway left their nets and followed Him. Straightway, without any hesitation. Do you know where a lot of times spiritual decisions have been hindered and restrained? When people have hesitated, when they stopped, when they know they should have gone. You don't need to look back at Sodom and deliberate over it, lest you turn into a pillar of salt. Listen, if God's dealing in your heart tonight about leaving your nets and you've never reached that point, don't hesitate. Don't rationalize. You know, the Bible talks about rationalization. You say, that's a fancy word. Let me give you a good Bible concept. Lean not unto your own understanding. That's rationalization. You can't do that. Now is the time, if God's dealing in your heart about leaving your nets, now's the time to do it. It's not to wait, it's not to deliberate. Straightway, they did it. And you know what's interesting is when you read just a few verses later and you see what James and John left. Notice, in verse 22 it says, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." You know, there may be some of you, and the heartstrings have been tugging a lot over the last few weeks. FaceTime sometimes doesn't help that, does it? Sometimes it does, but other times it, you know, maybe it doesn't. For some it helps, for some it hurts. I'm not here to say that don't ever talk to your parents again. That's not what I'm saying. Please talk to them. There are some of you, I'm sure your parent, "Why haven't you texted me today? Why haven't I heard from you?" And you're like, "Mom, my life is different now. No more just feeding the cat and looking at birds. I mean, right now I have books this high that I've got to read." There's some of you, you're going to have to explain that to your parents because they're going to be like, "He doesn't love me anymore. No, Mom, if I could go back, I would," you know. But there are some of you, you felt that tug of Mom and Dad being left behind. Listen to me, you're not the first one. For James and John to go forward, they had to leave somebody very dear to their heart. Working with him. Say, "What? How nice would that be to work with your dad?" Some of you are like, "No, I would not like that." But you know, for others of you, be like, that's a pretty great thing. And you know what? They had to leave that behind to go follow Jesus. I don't know tonight what you've got to leave behind in order to follow Him, but I want to encourage you, do it without any hesitation and be willing to walk away from those things that are dearest to your heart, as hard as it may be. Leave your nets and follow Him. Have you ever left your nets before? Do you know when you left your nets? I'm reminded of when I left my nets. Every day I walk into my office. On my bookcase, I have this. It's in a protective case, but it's really not that important. It's a baseball. This one carries some great significance to me because this was a game when I was 12 years old, where I hit the game-winning home run in the ninth inning of a game that was only supposed to go six because it was Little League. And the best thing about it was, is we beat my cousin's team. This is like the one thing that I have. All the other home runs that I hit, but I kept this one. The coach's wife marked it, ninth inning home run, Reds versus Cubs, 6-8-87. 1987, not 1887. 6-5, winning run for the game. I'll never forget hitting that home run. I remember that night, it was going into the ninth inning, so by that time you've got like the right fielder pitching because everybody, you've gone through the whole team. And the guy just lofted the ball over the plate and I crushed it right over the left field fence. I was amazed at night they could find it. But every time I look at that baseball, it reminds me a little bit of what I lived for my teenage years. I got saved at the age of 12. And then in public school, part of the world seemingly got in my system. And I began to have all kinds of ambitions. And, you know, to be honest, it was this sphere that became a god for me for quite some time. In the summers, that's what I poured into. I really had hopes. I was like, "Man, I'd love to be a baseball player when I grow up." Now, the chances are I probably never would have made it. I mean, 1% of all collegiate athletes make it to the big time in whatever sport they're in. So let that dash your hopes if you're hoping to be a professional athlete, all right? But you know, this ball, every time I look at it, it just reminds me of what my teenage years were like in turmoil when I'd live for a baseball and eventually get to times where I'd miss church because I was going to play ball. And finally, I just got under such great conviction. I was like, man, I can't do this. And I'll never forget when I was 15 years old in the summertime that I heard a fellow preach. And you know what? When that service was over with, I'll tell you what I did. I just left my nets. All of a sudden, that didn't seem very important to me. At that time, I had no idea what God was going to do in my life, but I knew that I needed to leave my dreams, I needed to leave my ambitions, I needed to leave my nets. And as a testimony to the grace of God, I am so glad I left my nets. God gave me direction, but I had to let go. This week we're talking about following Jesus. If you're going to follow Him, you've got to leave your nets. And if God's dealing in your heart about it tonight, you know when you need to do it? Straight way. Let's bow our heads together.